Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Radio. Tonight we got a special show for you. Friday Night Fire with me and my special guest host, Tone. Tone Anderson. Tone is one of my boys, one of my military partners from back in the day. And, you know, he liked talking boxing. So, man, he's going to chop it up on all boxing tonight. So, without further ado, I think my boy just called in.
What's up, Lee?
Yo, what it do, Tone? Let me properly introduce you. But, you know, Tone is one of my partners from back in the day when we was in the Air Force. Man, we used to, party hard back in the day. But one thing about me and Tony, even back then, we both like sports. And come to find out in recent years, you know, Tony is a big boxing guy. I used to be a big boxing guy, but boxing kind of lost me for a minute. But, you know, I still follow the sport. And, you know, whenever I can, chop it up with my man Tony, I get him up here so we can talk boxing. So without further ado, what up, Tone, man? How you doing, bro?
Hey, man, what's going on, everybody? What's going on, Lee? Lee is my guy. Love him to life. Brother I ain't never had. And what's going on, everybody? It's good. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man.
It's good to be here.
I know when I sent you the topics, I was like, man, this
guy.
We're gonna have some fun.
Hey, dude, you hit it. You hit
it, man.
We're
gonna have some fun with this one, dog.
Yes,
hey,
indeed.
I know the last time we was up here, we had some fun too, man. But look,
yeah, man.
Hey, it's a lot going on in the world of boxing, man. Let's just go ahead and jump into it, man. First topic we're gonna talk about, man. In the past couple months, you know, we've seen a lot of fights getting signed between top guys in the same division.
Sir.
The last time that we talked, me and you was talking about how promoters seemingly run boxers' careers instead of fighters running their own career. All right.
Yes.
Do you still feel the same or are things changing?
Well, you know what, man? I'm kind of in the middle because I think boxers are starting to do the thing because especially with the situation with Tank and Floyd. All things must come to an end. I've just been looking at the blogs and the TV. I mean, Floyd is over, about to fight a fight in Dubai. But then you got Tank. You got Tank finna fight Rowley. You do a fight in a press conference the same day. That ain't gonna work. I mean, I was just reading some stuff what Tank was saying. Tank is gone, man, and that's why I'm like this. Tank fighting like this. I don't really need Floyd anymore because Tank should be able to do whatever he want now. Floyd got him out there, so he don't really need Floyd like that as a promoter. Even Devin, you see what Devin did. Devin was solo by himself. You know what I mean? He was solo for a minute, independent, whatnot, but he just signed a 2-fight deal with Bob Arum and them. But he didn't have to do that. He just did that so he could make this fight. So I'm thinking, you know, fighters can hold their own. They don't really need promoters like they used to. But I guess to get in the door, I think a lot of them probably need promoters. You know what I mean? If that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think early in your career, as you learning the fight game, as you learning the game of boxing and the business side of boxing, you probably need a promoter. But probably, you know, once you start making a name, especially if you're a good fighter, if you start making a name for yourself, you really don't need a promoter, man. You just need somebody, you know, probably somebody to go in and negotiate terms of a fight or whatever on your behalf.
Right.
Maybe an agent.
Right.
Maybe an agent,
exactly.
Not a promoter.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Because when you think about it, look at what, I mean, I know you're really not a fan of Canelo, but look at what Canelo did. Canelo left Golden Boy. He said he's a free agent. So basically what he do is, he'll pitch a fight to a promoter. If they want to promote it, he'll let them have first dibs on promoting it, on whoever bids to, you know, want to pay the most to promote that fight. And, hey, that's good business. So basically, you know, one pay-per-view he could be on ESPN, one pay-per-view he could be on Showtime, maybe he fight on the PBC flag. But at the same time, he's still having big fights. And those fights are fights people want to see. I think that's the major thing about promoters. Promoters, sometimes they have the fighters well-being too much in regards, because sometimes it looks like you protecting the fighter. We're going to talk about Javante. We're going to talk about Tank
I knew you were going there.
But when you look at it, Floyd, why are you protecting Tank Davis? All these other lightweights out here, they putting their name on a dotted line to fight other top guys. It makes him look kind of weak to me. And that's a bad look. We'll talk about that later. But I want to see how Crawford handles his free agency. If Crawford goes the same route as Canelo, I like it. But I think Crawford is probably going to sign maybe a 3-fight deal or a 2-fight deal with a promotion.
Just to make it happen.
To make sure that he gets certain fights. And then he probably go full free agent after a 2-fight or a 3-fight deal. So, And then another thing, Tony, that if fighters take their own career and their own hands, guess what? Boxing politics go out the window. There are no more boxing politics.
Thank you, Lee.
You know what
you
I'm saying?
You hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head, bro. You hit the nail on the head. Devin Haney been preaching that. And he the youngest out of all of them. He's just 23. He been saying that. You know, how he the youngest lightweight? He the youngest out of all of them, and he been in charge of his career. He been an independent. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't understand. But you said it. You said it before. You like, man, I stopped messing with boxing because it's too much politics in it. And that's the truth, Lee. And if you feel like that, ain't no telling how many other people feel like that.
Yeah, man, because one thing about boxing, bro, is boxing has always been looked at as being shady anyway. Is the fixing or the judges on the tape. So the more you can make it seem like everything is on the up and up, that's best for the sport, bro.
That's true. That's true. You can that what scares me about Devin Haney. But anyway, we're gonna talk about that when we get to that section. I hope fighters start going in the direction of, you know, like maybe when they first come in, have a promoter, and then just start do it how Devin Haney did. I don't care what they say, do it like he did. And I really think Crawford, I don't know why people be tripping. They act like Crawford is new to this. I think Crawford gonna be okay, man. I think he's going to be just fine. And that's whether he signed with PBC or not. But back to what you were saying, if he do sign with PBC, I think he'll probably do like Devin just did with ESPN, I mean with Bob Arum, a 2-fight deal just so he can get the fight done. He did.
Yep.
He didn't give a dang, man. Devin didn't give a dang. He said, I want to fight, period. He taking less money. He going all the way over to the land down under. It takes a day to get there, like me and you talked about before. And then Australia is racist, man. I'm telling you, when they be saying, boy, I don't know if you looked at that press conference, Devin was just saying, hey, man, I'm not a kid. I'm a grown man. And then you got to say, when they say boy, when them British dudes say boy, you know what they really want to say. And I'm looking at Cambosis like, really, man? You too. You didn't have to say that. You did not even have to address him like that. But see, it's just the fact that he's giving up everything. He just want to make the fight happen. You know what I'm saying? So he's going over there.
Yeah.
So I just hope other fighters start to look at that, how he did that. And you know what I'm saying? I just hope on the other part of that, I just hope they don't cheat him. You know, so they don't cheat him because he got so much confidence, and I hope he stay focused. But I just like how he did it, and I just hope, like, I think it might be how the future of boxing go. They're gonna be like this. that they're going to start seeing the promoting thing. But I, like you say, boxing is so crooked, I don't know if the promoters will let that even happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I hope it does. Or need to be an even mix. At least need to be an even mix. You know what I'm saying? Make these fights happen.
Yeah. But that's with anything. It's like, you know, even now in the NFL, you see players negotiating their own contract without an agent. You know, you know, it's to the point now where people are taking more of their careers in their own hands. They want to be more hands-on. And that's smart business.
Yep.
So, look, man, let's jump into it. You brought it up.
Yep.
Let's talk about the biggest fight of the summer, man. We got Devin Haney traveling to Australia to fight
George
Kambosos on June 4th for the undisputed light heavyweight title. What's your thoughts on the fight, and what's the keys to victory?
Hey, man, I'm like this. I just want Devin Haney, 27-0, 15 KO. You know what I'm saying? I think Kambosos, he 20-0, 10 KOs. My thing is, Kambosos ain't no punk. I like Devin. Devin just needs to be himself. You know what I'm saying? He got good footwork, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just be yourself and don't get too caught up in the moment over there, because it's gonna be crazy. I mean, he used to fighting up under the light. I think if Devin just be Devin, I think he gonna hurt you. I think it's gonna be a beautiful day for him, man. But Kambosos ain't no punk though. He ain't no punk. You gotta understand. He in his hometown, his backyard. I just hope that the referees, honestly, I hope the referees don't be on some other stuff. But I hate to say this, and you could agree or not, or you could tell me what you think. I want him to either knock him down a few times or possibly knock him out or catch him. Because I don't want it to be in the ref's hands. Tell me what you think. I don't want it to be in the ref's hands, man. I mean the judge's hands. Because they're over in Australia. What you think?
I look at it like this, man. I think Devin knows what he's getting into going to Australia to fight Kambosos. But, you know, before I even go into that, man, shout out to Lomachenko for staying over in Ukraine and fighting for his country.
Oh, yeah.
Loma was originally signed on to fight Kambosos, but, you know, this thing with Russia kicked off. You know, he over there fighting for his country, man. Hey, shout out to Loma. You know, hopefully you make it out safely, bro, and, you know, you and your family and your country, man. But, you know, we thinking about
him
y'all over there.
Him and Usyk.
Who?
They both over there.
Yeah, Usyk.
Klitschko
is the mayor.
He's the mayor
of Kiev. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Klitschko is the mayor of Kiev over there.
Wow.
So basically what they should do is just challenge all the Russian soldiers to hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, man. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Right.
But, you know, since we were talking about that, and that's why Kambosos, he kind of full of shit, too, because in the press conference, Devin was like, Kambosos was like, we chose you, boy. We chose you. No, you didn't. They had to. He didn't want to fight Devin, man, even though he was on TV talking all that stuff. He wanted to fight Loma. He wanted to fight Loma at first. He didn't want to fight Devin. But on TV, on national TV, he said, yo, we can make it happen. We can do this if it makes sense. He talked all that shit after he beat Teofimo. He talked all that shit in front of the end. I mean, Devin, he said, we can make it happen. But he chose Loma out of all of that. And that's what I be hating, man. I'm up here like this.
But
Loma don't have a belt? Loma don't have a belt?
Nope. But Loma got a name, though.
He got a name, but what are you trying to do? You trying to do legacy? Okay, because you're not undisputed. You're not undisputed,
nope,
bro. So if you fight Devin, you get his belt, then you're undisputed. So what are we doing here, man? What are we doing?
Yeah. But look, man.
You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, but let's look at it, man. Hey, Tony, what's that sound, bro?
Huh?
What was that sound, dog?
I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing going on. I'm in my bedroom.
All right. But look, man, back to the fight, man.
Yeah.
I think Devin Haney with his smooth style, even though he's really not a power puncher, you know, he got a good jab. And, you know, he got good defense. But at
the same time,
Kambosos, man, he got good combinations, and he's a good
counterpuncher.
Man. So Haney would need to do, Haney going to need to stay at range, use his jab to frustrate Kambosos, make Kambosos come to him. Don't go to him. Make Kambosos come to you. Make Kambosos into an offensive fighter, something that he not. Kambosos like to fight with his hands down, inviting his opponents to come forward so he can throw combos and counterpunch them. But, you know, I think whichever fighter can stay strategic and stay with their game plan, I think they're going to win this fight, man.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing that Haney has to – he has to go in this fight with the mindset of, I have to dominate. He has to go in with the mindset of, I have to dominate. Just winning the fight is not going to be enough, being that I'm fighting this man in his own backyard. So
Thank you. Thank you, Lee. You hit the nail on the head, brother.
If I'm Haney's camp, that word dominate is everywhere around our gym. It's everywhere around our gym. Dominate. Just winning is not enough. So
it's not. Man.
I like Haney to put on a good show and a good fight. We ain't got to make no predictions today because it's June 4th. Actually, we probably watch this fight together because I'll be in North Carolina.
Oh dang! When you get here?
I get there on the 26th by April.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's like you closed your crib on the 28th, right?
29th, yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because what I usually do, even though – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, so I'll be there, man. I'll be in Carolina on the 4th, so we'll figure out something about how to watch the fight.
Oh, yeah. And what I usually do, you know, Coop's partner, Rock, he messed with his Air Force cat, all the cats that you know. You know what I'm saying? I'll just be like this. Man, that's crazy for an Army cat. And I used to work with him. And Coop and all of the cats when we was at Pope be over his crib. And he don't stay far from me out here in Hope Mills. I used to go over his crib. And the fact that you and Coop know that, man, that'd be cool, man. That'd be right on time.
Yeah, man.
I'm gonna beat you to him, man. But, yeah, man, I forgot about that. It's coming fast.
Yes, sir.
That's
2 weeks, man.
That's 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
That's 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
you know what I'm saying?
But it was something on this topic that you wanted to bring up, man. Go ahead and kick it off.
Oh, yeah. Devin Haney is doing something that no other fighter has done. And him going over to Australia. And Errol Spence saying he's going to go over there to support him. I thought that was so OG. Like Ali and the stuff that they used to do back in the day, supporting each other, you know, black singers supporting black boxers. It was just all love. And not trying to keep everything all black. It's just the fact that Devin Haney is 23 years old and he's doing it. And the fact that Earl stepped up and say, I'm going to go over there to support him. Now, can you imagine the star power if all the other dogs on lightweights or whatever say, we're going to go, I mean, Terrence Crawford, Sugar Ray Leonard. Can you imagine, Mike Tyson, can you imagine Mike Tyson and Deontay Wilder walking him down down to the doggone ring? That star power right there, man, I just wish, you know, us as a people, I just wish all the boxers, all, you know, name brand boxers could do what Earl did. They all get on the jet. Even Floyd, man, Floyd, all the dudes that don't have a fight, that could make that fight, go over there and support Devin Haney to let them know, hey, we here. And I just think that, you know, in my opinion, and some guys may not agree with me. And they was even talking about Canelo too. They like, man, if Canelo went, because to be real, whether you like him or not, Canelo, I mean, they love that dude. It's like he kind of like, after Floyd left, they was like, well, we don't have a great white hope, you know what I'm saying, but we have, you know, Hispanics kind of like run boxing. There's more Hispanic than anybody in it. And Canelo is just that dude, whether you like him or not. And if he decided to do it, can you imagine if all of them got on a jet, got on a plane, got on one jet, and went over to Australia to support Devin? Can you imagine that, man? Can you imagine what that even looked like?
You know what's funny, Tom?
What's up, bro?
I know you really don't be on IG like that, but that's all you should put on IG, bro. You could type a message and you could tag like all them dudes, Terrence Crawford, Shakur Steve. I mean, Shakur about to fight though. You could tag all them in the message and say, "Hey man, why don't y'all jump on a plane, man, to go over there and support Devin Haney, man?" You know, Earl Spence already said he gonna do it. So I think the more the merrier. I mean, that's what social media was made for. Yeah. You know,
didn't know you could do that. That's a trip.
But you know what's funny is that after this show, I'm gonna send a tweet out to Terrence and all them dudes. I'm gonna hit all them up in my tweet and I'm gonna be like, "Hey man, you know Earl going over to support Devin Haney in Australia. You know, if you guys ain't busy, I think y'all should go over there and support Devin too. You know, he gonna be in enemy territory. You know, probably be over there with just him and his camp. The more the merrier, you get that brother some support." So I'm gonna send that out tonight. You know, I use my Twitter platform for that. So, but yeah, man, I feel what you're saying. You know, if anybody ever played sports, y'all know how it is going when you go on them road on them, those away games, and you know, y'all probably got about a couple fans in the stands, and they got the whole stadium. You know, man. Sometimes that little support that you do have, that's enough to get you through. So, I feel you, man. But I'm gonna put that out on my Twitter tonight.
That's dope. That's dope if you do that. That's dope, man, and whatnot. Just to say this, Lee, all them dudes when I be listening to them talk, they say when they were all in the amateurs, ever USA people went overseas, they got booed. In amateur.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do that tonight, bro. I mean, actually, it just hit me while you was talking. I was like, damn, that's what social media for. So, but
wow.
And you know, man,
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm gonna do, man. I'm gonna tag all them in it, and I'm gonna send it out, man, and you know, see whatnot that get some feet, some gain some support or something, but. You know, man, it's all good. I mean, you know, we want Devin to go over there. I mean, even Devin already know what he's in for. Whenever you fight somebody in their own backyard, you walking in losing.
Exactly.
If you even, you losing. So, you know, but
I like that.
But that's the way it is, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But look, man, let's get to another one of your favorite fighters, dog.
Okay, let's do it.
We got your boy, Shakur Stevenson, taking on Oscar Valdez. WBO junior lightweight title and Valdez's WBC junior lightweight title. This is a big time fight, man. And I think the winner of this fight will be catapulted in the superstar status. Who you think win?
Oh, come on, man. It ain't even – I've been looking –
I already know.
First of all, but it ain't just because you know, I'm – Shakur, honestly, bro, you know how some people are just put on this earth to do certain – just to do certain stuff? And you know what I'm saying? I think Floyd was put on this earth just to box. I think he was put on – what I think Shakur – you know, I've been – I think Shakur was put on this earth just to do that. Hey, man, he don't have no flaws in his game. He can fight going backwards. His footwork is cold. You can't hit him. You cannot hit him. And every time he, just like how he, the last dude he just fought, he was a Marine. God dang. Oh, man, I can't think of his name. Man, it was a TKO. And that dude was cold. He had the belt. I was looking at the dog on press conference. My father Shakur was like, "Hey man, I'm taking your belt." But they were cool. But he just like this, man. You in my way, man. and they stopped the fight. And when I seen that, and I just think, first of all, to me, when you cheat once, you're a cheater. Oscar Valdez shouldn't have even been able to fight his last fight, talking about he drunk some bad herbal tea. Come on, man. I mean, he got a pass. He got a pass. Canelo got a pass. Tyson Fury got a pass. Black fighters don't have that same luxury of cheating, man. And Shakur said it. Shakur said, let me get caught with anything in my system. Y'all stripping me of everything. So he really shouldn't even, he should have that belt anyway. That shouldn't even be Oscar's belt, man. Because his last fight, even though, you know, the fight before that, he was juicing, they let him fight. And he lost it. But that dude beat him up, man. His eye was all messed up, but they still gave it to him. So I say Shakur win. You know, Shakur, it might be another TKO. It might be a stoppage, but Shakur win that all day. And you know what? Oscar Valdez was supposed to fight Shakur at 126, and he ducked him and went up to 130. Feel me on that. He ducked him. So that's how I feel about that. You know what I mean? But don't get me wrong, Oscar ain't no punk. He ain't no punk. It's levels to that. And I'm just like this. I think Shakur gonna just dominate. I mean, but he a Mexican, so he gonna try to bang. I know he gonna try to bang, but see, people think Shakur won't bang. Shakur from Newark, man. He from Newark, New Jersey. People just like, so yeah, Shakur all day, man. That's my opinion. What you think? That's my opinion.
Man. You know, Tony the Gay, y'all, a lot of love on Stevenson. So I'm gonna play devil's advocate for a minute.
For sure.
One thing Valdez does have on his side is he got experience. But yes. I think Valdez is gonna have to make Shakur fight in the phone booth. What I mean by that is he can't let Shakur fight at range. He got to make Shakur fight in close range where if you watch Creed 2, where they was going back and forth with the body blows and they was, you know, they was shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe, that's how bad Valdez has to make Shakur fight. If he can make Shakur fight like that, he has a chance of winning because that one thing that does is negate his speed.
Yeah.
When you fight in the phone booth, that takes all speed away. You can't use your speed in a phone booth. So, and Valdez, make Shakur fight in the phone booth, and if you can't make him fight in the phone booth, make him fight with his back against the ropes. Fighters do not like fighting with their back against the ropes. It's something about them feeling the ropes on their back that makes them kind of uncomfortable. But like Tony said, Stevenson is the faster fighter. His hand speed is going to be a major factor in this fight. A lot of people saying this fight is going to be a mismatch.
His IQ too, man. His IQ too, man. He's smart, dude. It's just levels to this. And I just think Shakur just everything. He's just a better boxer, man. In my opinion, and you know what I'm saying. In my opinion, and he don't like big rings either.
Yeah, I think you know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people saying it's gonna be a mismatch, but with all fights, Tony, every
anything
fighter has a punch's change. Every fighter
has
a punch's change.
You right,
but
you're right.
In this fight,
I think
Shakur dominates this fight with his speed, being able to bob and weave and avoid shots from Valdez. I say Shakur comes out this fight being a 2-belt holder. Been catapulted to superstar status. I think after this fight, if Shakur should definitely say the winner of Kambosos and Devin Haney, my eyes are set on you, and we will do whatever it takes to make that fight. And that's how you go about making fights. You go about making fights by calling out people, especially when you holding belts and you trying to collect belts. And Shakur, and actually Shakur is kind of laid back in his post-fight comments, but if he beats Valdez, this is the one time I want to see him say, my next fight will be against the winner of Kambosos and Devin Haney. I don't care if I have to go to Australia. I'll go to Australia and get the job done. So this is mm-hmm. when this is how you make yourself into a star. You don't have to badmouth your opponents, talk trash about mm-hmm. their family. How you make yourself a star is winning and carrying a winning attitude. You don't have to have that trash talk shit. That's okay. You know, it's part of the game. But sometimes people go over the line. But when you winning and you got belts on your shoulders, that's enough trash talk right there. So personally, like I said, I think Shakur dominates this fight. I think Valdez has a chance. But I think Valdez, his only chance is to hopefully make this fight a close battle where, you know, they shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe. And that's the only mm-hmm. way he can negate Shakur's speed. And can he do that? I don't know, because his last fight, he should have lost. And he was fighting a lesser opponent. And now he's stepping up in competition. So I like Shakur to win this fight, man.
Right. And see, and what you just said, I'm up here like this, man. Shakur, well, a lot of people don't understand. And that's why I try to look, you know, when I'm watching the boxing blogs like Blue Blood Sports TV and all, you know, all that, you know, Shakur is like this. You know, they'll show these dudes in their element, man. And Shakur was like this. He said, I hate big boxing rings. I like small boxing rings. So for me, for him to say that, that phone booth stuff, that's tailor-made for him. And I think Oscar Valdez is tailor-made for his, I'm telling you, man, he said, this fight is going to make me a superstar. And after whenever Shakur fights somebody, after his fight, he always say, this is who I want to fight next. That's why I like him too. He's been calling out Valdez, man. That's what I'm not understanding. He's finally getting these fights. Jojo Diaz, he's been calling for Jojo Diaz, and he whooped his ass. You know what I mean? I'm up here like this. That's what I'm talking about. You know, it was either my fault. It was either Shakur that beat him or Devin Haney. But people forget Shakur is a junior. It was Devin Haney. So that was my bag on that.
Yeah, Devin Haney beat Diaz.
That's right.
Shakur beat Jamel Herring, the Marine.
Yeah, right. I couldn't think of his name. And what people don't understand, Shakur
that's why you got
like
me,
he
bro.
Been, right. I had to think. I was like, hold on. That was Devin. But people forget, Shakur is not even a lightweight. He's a junior lightweight. People forget that. You know what I'm saying? I think he's a junior lightweight because he went from 126, I think, to 130.
You know what I'm saying?
So, you know what I mean?
But look,
anyway,
man,
that's
let's talk about another lightweight.
Cool.
Let's talk about another lightweight. We started talking about him earlier.
I think
and,
I know what you're talking about.
and I put this in as a topic because the last time me and you talked boxing, he was
mm-hmm.
a major part of the show because at that time he had the domestic violence thing that he was going through.
Right.
I think I sent you the video after the show because you hadn't seen it. So I sent you the video after the show. But, man, Tate Davis, man. Tate Davis is one of the top talents in the lightweight division. But
that dude, man.
This guy isn't fighting nobody. It's like all these lightweights are fighting each other except him.
Right.
My question is, should we be worried about him not being viewed in the same light as other lightweights because of the level of competition he faced?
You know what, man? I would normally say yeah, but Tank is a monster, man. I think, you know what? And that's why I'm kind of glad that he's kind of breaking off from Floyd, because I think we're going to see all those fights that, like you just said, that we think should be made. I think they're about to be made, man. Because I'm going to ask you, what the hell is he doing fighting Rolly Romero on the rear? And you know Rolly is in, and he's in Floyd's camp. What is he fighting Rolly Romero for? Really, man? That's almost
man.
It is so disrespectful to him, man. That is so disrespectful to him.
I'm gonna let you finish your point, and then I'm gonna tie something together, And then okay. you will see where I'm going at with him. Go, but go ahead, bro.
Back to what you were saying, that's the only thing, because I think about it just like this. Because he, you know, the last two cats he knocked out, not the last dude that took him, you know, took him, that he broke his hand on, he still finished the fight. But Santa Cruz and all them dudes wasn't no joke, man. I mean, they were straight. I mean, they Hispanic fighters, and both of them got knocked out. Barrios was 5'11". I'm like, Barrios ain't no punk. And Floyd, not Floyd, but Tank knocked him out so smooth. But back to what you were saying, I think people gonna always look at him like this. If he want legacy and be known, he gotta break away from Floyd and fight those lightweight that we think he should be fighting, like the Ryan Garcias, the Shakur Stevenson, the Devin Haney, the Count Bosey, the doggone the Lomas. He should have been fought Loma, man. He should have been fought Loma. Floyd was like, when they interviewed him, Floyd was like, well, dude, why you bringing him so slowly, man? He's 27 years old now, man. He should have been fought those dudes. He should have been fought Ryan Garcia and all them. And I don't know if it's Floyd. I don't know if it's PBC, Floyd, because I know it ain't Tank. You know, Tank don't give a damn who he fight, man. But I just think, you know, get away from Floyd. And I'm not dogging Floyd. It's been real. You made him a superstar, but he don't really need Floyd anymore, because wherever he go, people know Tank gonna knock you out. People go to fights just to see that. So you know what I'm saying. So yep. Wherever he go, he's a superstar now. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, all good things gonna come to an end. Floyd did it with Bob Arum, but I just think he wouldn't be leaving if Floyd had done stuff differently. And I think this Rolly Romero fight. Personally, me, and the reason I'm saying, because I look at the stuff almost every day, it's disrespectful, man. I mean, Rolly Romero hadn't even had a press conference before like this when they were talking to him. I'm like, what? Just the biggest fight in your doggone, and you ain't really never had a press. That's disrespectful, man. So that's how I feel about it anyway. You know what I'm saying? What you think?
All right. I need you to follow me real quick. Follow me real
quick.
Yes,
sir. Okay.
All right. Me and you both look at Tank Davis as being a ultra talent, probably one of the best lightweights in the world. But one thing we can't argue or debate is his name is never mentioned in the same categories as Loma, Shakur, Devin, Kambosis, Teofimo. And my whole thing is, why is that? So what I did was I took a quick look.
Mm-hmm.
Loma fought Lopez. Lopez fought Kambosis. Kambosis is now fighting Hank. Shakur Stevenson fought Jermell Hearn. Now Shakur Stevenson is fighting Valdez. And then when you look at it, Tank is fighting Rolando Romero.
you made your point that fast. You didn't make your point that fast. I ain't going to lie. Hey, Lee, that's why I'm glad I got you. You tied that together. It didn't even take long. What you just you're right. I didn't even, you know what? Not that I didn't look at it, but I ain't ever. You're right. All of them are fighting each other, and you're right. And I know Tank. And I know Tank see that. I know he sees certain stuff, but I know he probably like, why am I fighting this clown? Why am I fighting this clown that's in Floyd's camp? That's in Floyd's camp. You know what I'm saying?
And then, but see, the one thing we keep saying is Mayweather Promotions. Mayweather Promotions, basically, Floyd is basically taking Tank down the same path he took in his career. Floyd avoided a lot of dangerous fights early in his career, you know. And people can say what they want. People can say Floyd this, Floyd that. Floyd avoided dangerous fights until he couldn't avoid them.
When you say that, what dangerous fights did he avoid? Did he end up fighting them later and they just didn't fight him at first or what?
He avoided Pacquiao early. He avoided Vernon Forrest. He avoided Vernon Forrest. He avoided Vernon Forrest so hard that he put Vernon Forrest on the same promotion team so he wouldn't have to fight him.
So you think, now that's when he was pretty boy Forrest, Floyd?
I think Vernon Forrest would have beat him. I think a younger Pacquiao would have gave him a fight. I think an older Canelo would give him a better fight than Canelo did back then. But I wish we could go back and put Pretty Boy Floyd in this era with Spence, Crawford, and all them boys. And let's see how would he have that O. Would he have that O on his record?
Because you heard what Spence did to him in sparring. I wish they had a video of that. They said Spence rocked his ass. Had his eye looking all jacked up.
So that's what I'm saying. But I'm going to put it to you like this. Tony, I'm not a boxing promoter. I'm not a coach. I'm not a manager. But I'm going to throw this out there. One way we could take Tank more seriously is if he were to call somebody out after a fight. He never calls anybody out after a fight. He always say the same thing after every fight. I'll get with my team.
We'll see what's next.
You know, we'll go back to the drawing board.
That's what it says. Right.
You need to call somebody out. Mean it. When you call them out, mean it. So that way, me and you fans of Tank, if Tank was to come out and say, I want to fight Shakira Stevenson next, you know how much balls that's going to create?
Woo.
Man, dog.
I'm like, woo.
That's going to create so much buzz and hype, especially if he said in a way that we believe him.
Oh, yeah. Man, do you know him and Shakur? Shakur from Newark. He from Baltimore. And now one of them punks, or he call out Devin's name. Do you right. You right, but you know, I think that's the new Tank, the Tank I just seen before I called you. Hey, man. The Tank that when he leaves Floyd, I'm telling you, man, it's gonna be a whole different ball game, bro. And I want him to go back to stepping inside the ring after a fight. You know, I wanted to go back to that since the pandemic is supposed to be over. You remember how they used to do that?
Uh-huh.
You remember after Errol fought, Danny Garcia brought his punk ass in the, what you call it, say, hey, go back to that, man. Because a lot of boxers were doing that. Even though Danny got his ass whooped.
but see, Tony, but look what Danny did to get the fight.
You right.
Look what he did.
That's what you got.
Yeah. He walked in the ring. He created
that's what
a
I'm
buzz.
Talking about. Yeah, man. I like that. I like when they do that. I want them to go back to that.
See,
I want them to,
I'm saying, even if, let's see, when is this Shakur Stevenson fight? Shakur fights He fights April 30th.
Yeah, April 30th, yep. Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Tank fights after that.
Let me see, Tank. Let me see. I got it. What Tank at? Where we at, Tank? May 14th? No,
Tank fight May 28th. So,
May 28th.
So let's say Shakur wins his fight. Tank jump in the ring. Hey, after the fight, step up there. Hey, Shakur, after Tank wins, you go to his fight and you step in the ring.
Yeah.
Bruh, that's instant buzz, instant hype, and you get two of the best fighters going at it.
You never know. And what you just said, it might happen like that.
But Tank has to stop towing the company line. I think he needs to become – you from D.C., bro. You from Baltimore. We know niggas in Baltimore are tough. We know y'all hard out there. Start letting some of that come out in your words. Stop being so soft-spoken, you know, except when you're doing press conferences and stuff. Start being that way all the time. You know what I'm saying? But I just want him – to get away from Floyd, man, because he hurt your career. He's giving you these popcorn fights, whereas all the other lightweights are fighting each other, and everybody looking at them like, man, these dudes the real deal. So, hey, man, but, you know, man, that's all we want in the sport of boxing, man. We just want the best to fight the best, and let's see them get it on. Let's see who the best. Let's see, you know, can they unify belts? You know, can they go on to be big-time stars, make a lot of money? And Tank is one of them guys that can be a big-time star, make a lot of money. And I think, give and take, he probably the hardest punching lightweight. He probably the one that can put anybody to sleep.
That's what I'm saying. He don't really need Floyd anymore, man, because Tank's selling out arenas still. Tank gonna sell out. He sell out. But I know, I could tell, it is so disrespectful, this Rolly fight. You should see it. I got the press conference. Oh, my God. I ain't gonna lie. He dissing Rolly so bad. Because Rolly been talking a whole lot. He dissing him so bad. They looking at each other. They face to face. But, man, Tank is like he want to fight him right then. I'm up there like, golly. This is crazy. It just looks so real, man. Looks like he pissed off.
But the thing is, though, Tony, would he do that to Shakur? Would he do that to Devin? Would he do that to Teofimo? Would he do that to them? You know, he probably talked some shit, but I bet you he wouldn't be ready to go right then and there. You know, this is a guy that he knows he can beat. This is a guy he knows he's talking a lot of shit, though.
Rolly talking a lot of shit, too, man. I'm not going to even lie to you. He's saying he's going to knock Tank out in the first round. He said Tank is soft. I was like, what? This is a joke, man. I'm telling you. I look at this every day. The stuff he say about Tank, I ain't never heard nobody say. I ain't heard none of them lightweights say this stuff that Rolly. So I don't know if Rolly just playing for the cameras. Come on, man. One round? He said he gonna knock him out in one round, bro.
You did say this is his first time doing big-time media stuff
This is his biggest fight. This is his biggest fight. So he's trying to sell a fight, Lee. What did he try to do?
That's what he got to do. He got to put out there that he's not coming to lose, that he's coming to win. But when you a fan of boxing, you already know, looking at him and looking at Tank, that this fight probably, if it go five rounds, something wrong with Tank.
Right.
So, but look, man, let's move on to another topic, man. And I know this topic probably is going to hurt my man Tony Hart, because, you know, Tony is a big fan of the Charlo brothers. And
from the crew.
I saw today that they got some fights coming up. And it got me to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Charlo brothers still relevant in the sport of boxing? They both have good records.
Right.
But to me, it seems like they never have big fights. They never in a big fight. So I'm going to start this one off this time, Tony.
I'm going to start this one off.
So that way you can come back at me.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, I hate to say it, dog, but the Charlo twins aren't relevant in the fight game, dog. They're not as relevant as they should be. When was the last time one of them fought a fight that made us say, oh, shit, I got to see this fight?
When Jamal fought the Mexican, that he gonna fight again. Let me see. I got his Castano. Name right there. What's his name? Castano. Yeah, they gonna fight, let me see. They fight on Showtime. What's it, 14 May?
Okay.
I think they fight on Showtime on 14 May. So
you consider that a big fight. I consider that a fight that Jamal should have won easily.
Well, old dude, Castano, he ain't no punk either. He ain't no punk either.
Okay.
And whatnot, but I understand. Yeah. But basically what you're saying, that was Jamal, the middleweight. I mean, shoot, he an old dude from Philly. He knocked him out, got the belt. I mean, who is it that you want him to fight? What middleweight? We talking about Jamel or Jamal? Because Jamel is the
we're talk
Jamel
about
got all the belts.
I'm about to get to both of them. I'm about to get
okay,
to both
Jamel
of them.
Got all the belts.
Okay. I looked at that division. I really wasn't, like, really blown away by anybody in that division.
Right.
So
right, yeah, that's true.
So I'm really not that's blown away. But right. I think one thing about the Charlo brothers, and this goes both of them, both of them know they can knock people out. But
mm-hmm.
when you see them fighting, they can't knock the other person out. They seem to struggle, yeah. dog. They have
yeah,
hard times in competitive fights, man.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be able to. If you can't knock somebody out, you gotta figure
mm-hmm.
out another way to bring the fight to your opponent. Sometimes you have to set up knockout shots. You know, you set
yeah.
them up by going to the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
throwing left hooks, throwing right hooks. You know, jab, jab, hook. So,
yeah.
But I think for them dudes, they are talented. But which one is the 154? Is that Jermell? Jermell is the 154,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, he the one with the belt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think for Jermell, what I want to happen for him is if we get Crawford and Spence, the loser of that fight goes up and fights him. I think that'll be a fight for him that will put him on the map, and people will say, okay, all right. I mean, they had to go out to fight him, but that's still a talent. Crawford is still a talent. Vince is still
yeah.
a talent. But if not, there is nobody in that division that makes us say, wow, I really want to see him fight Jermell. But I do
you
like Fundora,
what?
Though. I do like Fundora. I think that'll
yeah,
be an interesting fight. Although he is
you know,
not also
oh,
name,
dude could probably,
I do like
Lubin
that
could
fight.
Probably lose. Lubin could probably lose that, man. He could possibly lose that tomorrow. They fight tomorrow. And Lubin could probably
okay.
lose that, man. You right. Because Fundora, like 6'6", 6'7", 6'6"?
Yeah, that's that big boy.
Yeah, he like 6'6", hey, man. I'm not trying to be funny. They talking about Lubin. Hey, Lubin could possibly lose that, man. I was just looking at some highlights. I'm like, dang. So it ain't going to be no walking apart. I mean, just don't be surprised. They say Lubin lost. I'm like, dang. I mean, you know what I mean? So Lubin could possibly lose that, but I ain't going to lie. Everything you just said about the Charlo brothers, crazy, I hate to say, I agree with you, man, because I just be like this. What are y'all doing lately? Because Jermell finna fight this dude named on the 18th of June named Macy Selecki. He a Polish dude. I'm like, who the hell is that? He 30 and 2 with 11 KOs. He Polish. I'm like, who is that dude? I'm like, who is that? And it's back to what you said, people we don't know about. And then was it Jermell when he was fighting Castano, whatever? He was all in the ropes. I'm like, man, what are you doing? I didn't understand that. Why are you on the ropes, man? And Castano, every time he got on the ropes, Castano was tagging his ass. I don't know, man. I'm like you on that one, man. I don't understand. I don't understand what they're doing. And you know, I don't know what they're doing, man. You know, and I think one of the brothers, Jermell, the big one, the one that's still training in Houston, he's gonna be training with Errol Spence's dude, Derrick James. He's gonna be training up there for a little bit. I ain't saying he's leaving, but when I was watching Boxing Ego the other day, he's supposed to be going to Dallas and train with Derrick James. I don't know what's up with that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on with that, but you right though, hey, Lee. You hit the you own the sum with that. That division is you like this. And then a fight that we ain't even talking about, one of the Charlo brothers could have fought Benavidez. He could have fought Benavidez. As much as I hate to say it, he ducked him, talking about, man, that boy too young. He don't want – what? Man, you fight him. You need to fight him. You need to fight Benavidez. And that fight would have made sense. Benavidez versus Charlo at 160? But Charlo, I ain't going to lie, Charlo made all these excuses. That's when I started looking at him. Lee, that's when I started looking at him sideways. I like, come on, man. Benavidez wants the smoke, man. And we ain't even talked about him. He wants the smoke, bro. Benavidez is a problem. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, Benavidez is a problem. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But, you know, man, thinking about it, though, I think a few months back I sent you this on YouTube video where
mm-hmm.
They was talking, one of the Jermell, they said Canelo offered Jamal Charlo a fight contract,
and
he turned it
down.
Oh, remember when I told you, I was like, when I read it, when I saw it, I was like, man, that don't make no sense. When every chance he get, he calling out Canelo, and then the thing that really brought it home was that his twin is the one that said he turned it down. Jamel said Jamal turned down to fight Canelo, dog. I'm like, bro.
Man, you said that to me. I was like, yeah.
First of all, Jamal, you've been up here talking about you want to fight Canelo. Canelo sends you a contract. First of all,
right.
You don't turn the contract down. You renegotiate it, you know, if you don't like the numbers or whatever. But, Jamal, you are going to be the B-side of a Canelo fight, okay? There's nothing left to be said. You are going to be the B-side. So it might be 70-30, 60-40. You just got to live with that, bro. And you got to say, try to negotiate where you want a percentage of the pay-per-view buys. That's the stuff you got to do to negotiate a fight. But you don't turn that fight down, bro. Especially when you, after every fight, saying that you want to fight him. So I think at this point in time, Jamal, he has to start lobbying for a fight against Canelo or Triple G. I think those are two biggest fights for him and will probably be the two biggest paydays of his career. And if I'm him, I fight Triple G first. Triple G is 40 years old, so he a little long in the tooth. I think he would have a better chance of beating Triple G, although Triple G ain't a punk. Triple G still got hands. But he ain't fast and quick. So I think I give Jamal the speed advantage in that fight. And then if you beat Triple G, that's when you throw all your chips in and you go for a Canelo fight. But I think it's time for the twins to become, they got to become figures in the fight game by starting to fight bigger names. I know their divisions are whack, but you can't turn down Benavidez. You can't turn down Fundora. If Crawford or Spence come up, Jamel, you got to take that fight. You can't turn that down. That's the fight that's going to make you a lot of money. So,
you know,
it's that time for them. They got to up the competition, man. I mean, I know they both got skills. They both talented. They seen the struggle in competitive fights. But that's what's supposed to happen when you're fighting the best of the best. You don't supposed to just run away with every fight and knock everybody out. So, I just want them to get back to being stars. And the only way they can be stars is by opening the competition, man.
That what you just said is so true. And that's what disappointed me with Charlo and Benavidez. That disappointed me, man. When he said what he was saying, I'm like, come on, man. I watch boxing stuff, and every boxing channel said the same thing. Said it was like this. They were like, hey, man, if you feel like you could beat him, fight him. This dude, 25 years old, he wants to smoke, give it to him. Everything else is just excuses. And I'm up here like, golly. And they could have made that fight. They both with PBC. Benavidez with PBC. Charlo with PBC. That would have been easy to make, man. So I'm up here like this.
Yeah, man.
But they know. They know. They fight Benavidez, man. And Benavidez, don't get me wrong, he could get got, too, because I didn't see him, because he take a lot, because he take people, I didn't see him people tag him, but Benavidez ain't no punk, though.
but you know what, though, Tony? It reminds me of Canelo versus Floyd. Floyd was like, okay, y'all, Floyd knew that he had the experience advantage over Canelo. He knew Canelo wasn't as polished as a fighter as he is now. So this is when you're supposed to beat him down. You're supposed to beat them down when they're young. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? But you gotta show them, because it's like this. Floyd was 36 when he fought, whatever, whatever. But Canelo was beating everybody. I was like, God damn, he beat everybody. So, but like I say, Mexicans run boxing. Come up like this. How the hell did Canelo get that fight with Floyd so fast? All them other folks who was waiting. And he got that fight at 21. Come on, man. Come on, man.
That's because like Floyd knew he could beat him. That's because Floyd knew he could beat him. If he really felt threatened by Canelo, he won the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's just my personal opinion and my opinion of seeing how strategic Floyd is with his matchmaking. He won the fourth him if he thought he could that Canelo could beat him. Like right now, I don't think he will fight that Canelo. Right now, he wouldn't fight him.
Oh, that'd be because he damn near 50. That'd be stupid. That'd be dumb.
Yeah,
they wouldn't ask another boxer to do it.
Yeah,
they wouldn't ask another boxer. They wouldn't ask another boxer to do it. But anyway.
But look, man, we got to move on, dog. We got three more times.
For sure.
April 23rd, we got a heavyweight clash between Tyson Fury and Dillian White for Fury's WBC heavyweight title. Man, one thing I noticed about the heavyweight division is kind of lackluster right now. How do you feel about the heavyweight division, man, with Usyk and Fury being the title holders? Yeah. Then you got Wilder, Joshua, White, and others chasing, man. What's your opinion on the heavyweight division?
It's just like what you said, man. Honestly, the big boys, they not like they used to be. They not as exciting. Like, okay, Tyson Fury, he's 31-0. 21, you know what I'm saying? Or what I think he got, like, 21 knockouts or whatever, whatever. And then he's fighting another British guy. He's 28-2. Don't nobody even know this dude. Don't nobody want to see that. We want to either see Tyson Fury versus Usyk or Tyson Fury versus what's old big boy name? Joshua. That's what we want to see. I mean, Usyk already fought Joshua, and we was like, dang, and he beat him. So, to me, the only fight anybody want to see right now is Tyson Fury and Usyk. Do that make sense? That's what we want to see, man. That's the fight that we want to see. Usyk is from Ukraine, and I know we can't have it now because he overfighting for his country. But even before they started, they had already made that fight, you know, Tyson Fury fight this Dillian White dude. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to feel like this. I mean, the heavyweight division finally got that great white hope. Because back when me and you was growing up, wasn't no white fighters running shit? Wasn't no white fighters running shit in heavyweight, bro? At all. I ain't trying to offend nobody, but I'm just keeping it 100,000 right now. Tommy Morrison tried to do something. You see what happened? Come on, man. They got their white hope now, and I'm up here like, dang. And I don't – and seeing Tyson Fury get away with a whole – see, you know I'm saying? They get away with doing a lot of stuff. He was doping. Nobody said nothing. He say what he want out there. I hate when he say, boy. I hate when he do that, man. That's cold, man, and people don't get it. I'm just like this. Let Deontay Wilder had got caught juicing or whatever like Fury did, like them other two, y'all mentioned, Canelo and Wilder. Man, they would have stripped him of everything, man. But you know, so it's what you write though. It's lackluster. It's just not like it used to be. I wish it was like how what's the promoter with the crazy hair? What's his name?
Don King.
I'm tripping. Don King had, man, it was popping. Heavyweights were popping back then. Ernie, all of them. Holmes, the heavyweight division was the shit. And it's just garbage. It's just, right now, I'm up here like this. If you don't hear Tyson Fury, don't nobody want to see Tyson Fury fight Deontay Wilder 8 times, man. Like, don't nobody the same as the Triple G freaking Canelo. I mean, how many times they going to fight? It's a lot of fights. Canelo could, even though he's going up to heavyweight, there's a lot of dudes, middleweight and super welterweight that you could fight, man. But that's just my opinion, man. You know, the heavyweight division, it's still the money division. They say it's still the money division, though. And I'm gonna feel like this: if it ain't a Tyson Fury or a Usyk or Joshua, I don't know if anybody want to see it. But I'm gonna say this: it's this little young cat. His name, like I say, his name is God dang, his last name is Anderson. He like 6'4". He like 6'4". He's coming up, man. I'm just saying, just look out for him. He's 11 and 0 with 11 knockouts. You know what I'm saying? His name is Anderson. Like I said, heavyweight division. He's pretty nice, man. He's pretty nice. Like I said, 11 and 0. Just, look out for that dude. But that's my opinion. That's my opinion with the heavyweight, though, man. You said it, man. It's just lackluster, man. I'm like this. We just named four people. What you say, Joshua, Wilder, White, Houston, Fury. That's it, man.
That's it, dog. It's like that division. I mean, we seen Tyson Fury destroy Wilder twice. Anthony Joshua, he's alternated wins and losses in his last couple fights. White, this dude, he fighting Fury. He won't even do any media or any press conferences to help sell the fight. It's like, bro, this is the biggest fight of your career, and you refusing to do media? Bro, come on. Who refuses to do media when you
– man.
No, that just don't make no sense to me. And you know, like I said, Fury beat Wilder twice. To me, Wilder has been exposed to a certain degree because if he can't land that right hand, he can't do nothing.
I'm not going to say like, he beat him twice. That first fight, Deontay Wilder, when Tyson got up off the floor, that was a draw. He didn't beat him.
I would say – Wilder kind of dominated that first fight. But
man, that fool got up. I mean, all he did was got up, man. I'm like this. Are you serious? Yeah, I'm like, are you serious?
I mean,
right
it
now?
Was kind of a slow count, too. If you go back and look at it, it was kind of a slow count, too.
I'm telling you, man, I was like this.
But that being said, Wilder still is a limited fighter, though. He's a limited heavyweight.
And he has no wins. He has no wins.
He don't have a jab. He has nothing outside of that right hand. But like you said, Usyk is the great unknown right now. You know, he risen from cruiserweight to beating Joshua, you know, for all Joshua belts. But this division, man, is all about who can unify the belts. I think right now Fury is the best bet to do that. But we don't know who's going to be the guy on the other side of the ring. But I know the whole United Kingdom is hoping that it's Joshua because that'll be the biggest fight in European history. As they already said, they're going to sell out Wembley Stadium. So, look, Joshua, I just don't trust him, bro. I think Usyk beats him again.
I don't either. I do too.
I think
man.
Usyk
don't have
beats
no...
him again, and I think it's hey, Usyk and Fury.
He don't have dog in him. Yeah. Man. You gotta have dog. You gotta have grit in you, man. I don't know. And Joshua, I ain't saying he don't have hands, but I'm like, dude, what is you doing, man? You lost to that Mexican dude the first time you came back and beat him, and now you just lost to Usyk. I'm up here like this, man. What are you doing, bro? You ain't got no dog in you, man. That's my opinion. Them British fighters, they talk a good game. They talk a good game. But when they fight them dog-ass American dudes, they be getting fucked up. And that's what pissed me off with Wilder. I'm like, damn, because you let an old racist-ass Tyson Fury beat you, and I don't know what your training is like. He be getting tired after the first round, man. I'm like, what you doing? You didn't train? I know you were training. How you that tired and winded after the first or second round, man? That's why I don't know, man. I don't know. Bro.
But I think a fight I want to see, though, is I want to see Wilder and White fight. I think that'll be an entertaining fight. I don't know. Maybe Wilder and Joshua, but I think Joshua is a better boxer. So, but I wouldn't mind seeing them two scrap too, but, you know, man, it all depends on how it shakes down with the Usyk-Joshua fight because I think Fury dominates White. So, you know, I know Fury would rather fight Joshua, but I think it's going to be Usyk, man. But look, man.
That's crazy.
We got
before you get off real quick. That dude that's out there at heavyweight, that heavyweight I'm talking about, his name is Jared. Jared Anderson. Just check him out. Jared Anderson. My kinfolk. I always say it's my kinfolk because his last name is Anderson. You know what I'm saying? He's nice, though.
That's what's up. But look, man, you brought it up earlier, a minute ago. So I'm going to bring it up now. It's one of our topics.
Triple G.
Where we going? Triple G.
April 9th, Triple G returns at the age of 40. And then Canelo fights on May 7th. I've been reading some stuff that there's a possible two-fight deal for them two to fight each other again. I thought the earlier fights, Triple G won both of them. Do you even want to see these two guys fight two more times?
Man, you know what, man? Okay, Triple G fight this dude named Royata, his Japanese name Royata, with 18 fights. Okay, and Canelo fighting Dmitry Bivol, this Russian dude. I'm like, what is y'all doing, man? What the hell is y'all doing? So when I see that, I was like, well, dang, man. I don't want to see that. I would rather see them two fight because I know it'll be a more competitive. But then I'm tired of seeing them two fight because it ain't going to never be – because how Canelo run boxing, is it going to be fair? Because it's like you said, man, Triple G won that first fight, bro. I don't give a damn what they say. I was watching the highlights a little while ago. I'm like, damn. But it's Canelo. Canelo could do what the hell he wants in the sport, and they don't care, man. That's why I don't want to see them fight them. For what? They ain't going to do nothing because if it's close, Canelo, they're going to give it to Canelo again. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, but it seems like that's what people want, though, man. I mean, when they put it on TV and they get the numbers back, people still say they want to see it. I'll be like, damn, I don't see that shit no more. But it looks like it's going to probably happen because it's going to make money. You know, if it makes money, it makes sense to everybody.
Yeah, man. You know, just like you said, the record books say Canelo is 1-0-1 against Triple G. I have Triple G is 2-0 versus Canelo. I think he won the first fight easily, and I think he even won the second fight. Canelo did a little better in the second fight, but still, I had Triple G winning that fight. But
man, Triple G jab was getting him, man. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I right, Lee? What his jab was getting Canelo, man. Uppercut, I was like, damn.
Everything he did in the first fight worked in the second fight. So it was like the second fight all over again, except Canelo did land a few more punches, but he never hurt Triple G. He never did anything that made Triple G back up. So I really don't care much about seeing these two fight again. I'd rather see one of them fight Jamal Charlo. Triple G at the age of 40, I think he should be looking to fight like Caleb Plant or Billy Joe Saunders. You know, probably, you know, get you a nice little 2-3 fight deal and then walk away. You 40 years old, man. You know, you can't do this forever. So get you a little 2-3 fight deal. The way you fight Caleb Plant, Billy Joe Saunders, or maybe Jamal Charlo, and, you know, make your money, then walk away from the game. But the only way I see these two actually getting in the ring again is if this deal is going to pay them through the moon. It's a deal you can't refuse. But outside of that, I think both of us be building on their legacies and looking for new challenges in the ring, man, by fighting first blood. As you've seen, Canelo has actually upped his game, fight Caleb Plant, Billy Joe Saunders. Now he's fighting this Russian guy. I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do. I don't think he will want to look back, backtrack by going to fight Triple G. Although, if I'm Triple G, man, I got to get at least one of those fights back. I got to get a win in my car. I got to get one win.
Right. And that's why I like this. If they fought one more time, I'd be like, okay, but man, there's two fights. I ain't trying to see them fight two more times, man. Because one thing, because what's going to happen, he going to end up happening like, you remember how many times, I can't think of a dude's name, that fought Pacquiao, and old dude caught Pacquiao knocking the hell out. You ain't going to keep beating a dude that many times. You ain't going to keep. I was like, okay. He going to get you. Just like what you just said, he going to get you. You ain't going to, I mean, but I don't know. Canelo got star power, man, and he gets what he wants, man. He get what he wants, and he bring the money. He turned down $100 million deal to fight somebody. I was just like, it was one of the black Charlie. It was one of them. I like, damn, $100 million. He turned it down like it wasn't nothing. He said, no, I'm good. So he doing what he want in the boxing game. But I don't want to see it. But and if it do happen, I one more time, okay. But I ain't trying to see them fight two more times, bro.
All right, man. Look. Say the best for last.
Of course.
Say the best for last, people. Friday Night Fire. Me and Tony talking number boxing. Number boxing. Say the best for last. April 16th. Earl Spence Jr. versus Ugas. For Spence's WBC and IBF titles and Ugas' WBA title. Okay. First off, we're going to jump into our thoughts on this fight and who we think going to win. And then we're going to have a follow-up conversation. So, Tony, Earl Spence is your guy. What's your thoughts on this fight and who wins?
Man, big up. You know what? Big up to Uga and Earl for agreeing to do the fight. And I just think Earl ain't been in the ring in a minute. Earl ain't been in the ring in a minute. And I got Earl winning the fight. But Ugas ain't no punk, though. I got to give it to him. The Ugas that fought Pacquiao, I'm up here like, God damn. I could tell Ugas didn't work on his game. He didn't work on his jab. He worked on his counters. You could tell he been practicing. He was practicing. Because how he beat Pacquiao. But Pacquiao was not a doggone Earl, man. And Earl got his old trainer. Got his old trainer back, man. I'm telling my Earl looking like, man, he just looking like he's like, hey man, they think I don't have it no more, and ain't nothing wrong with that. But sometimes when you're trying to prove a point so bad, you can get caught, and I just don't want Earl to get caught. You know what I'm saying? But I got Earl winning that mug, man. Earl's just a dog, man. And then they fighting at AT&T Stadium, and when I be seeing them talk like the press conference they had, it's just me. It's like almost Ugas is kind of like not looking past Earl, but he just, I don't know. He just seemed like, I mean, Earl don't have it no more. It's like he had that car accident and people, it just seemed like he just fell off. Because to me, Danny Garcia just disrespected him, to me. He's like, and he still do it. He said, I mean, Earl didn't do it. I'm like, Earl whooped your ass every round, bro. And that was after the accident. I mean, am I lying, though?
Yeah, man, Garcia got straight.
And then Earl took his foot off the gas. Took his foot off the gas. But he whooped your ass. You talked all that shit, you and your dad, coming from Philly. Y'all came all the way to Texas and got a Texas ass whooped. Damn sure did. Your football team got their ass whooped, and you got your ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? But it's just how he said it, man. I was like, damn, Danny Garcia? You really think? He was like, well, he said, I saw a weakness when he fought Sean Porter. Motherfucker, what weakness did you see? And then he stepped
Danny
his
Garcia,
ass in the ring.
Danny Garcia hey. Doesn't fight the same way as Sean Porter. Sean Porter has that bulldog way of fighting that kind of takes fighters out of their game because he lowers his head and he just keeps coming forward. And that's a style that some fighters, it takes you a while to kind of like figure out how you can hit him. So just like when Porter fought Crawford figured it out around about the fourth round, but it took him a while to figure it out. But once he figured it out, it was a done dollar because, you know, he started putting hands on him. But, you know, man, he put them things on him. But I think in this fight, man, I'm going to go back to Ugas and I'm going to go back to what we talked about earlier. I think Ugas has to come into this fight, and he has to have the Devin Haney's mindset that I said earlier about Devin Haney. He has
dominate.
To come in with an attitude of, I have to dominate.
Yeah.
If I win 6 or 7 rounds, I'm not going to win this fight. They're not going to give me this fight. I have to go in and dominate. So one thing Ugas does have on his side is that Earl is kind of like in a funky little spot right here because he's dealing with like inactivity. This will be his first fight in 17 months and only his second fight since 2019. But, you know, man, let's give Ugas some love, man. Ugas, you know,
Ugas can fight, man. He can fight, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what I like about Earl, they be trying to ask Earl about other fights. Earl, like, man, I'm not worried about them fights. I'm worried about Ugas, what's right in front of me. I ain't worried about, and you know, them commentators are trying to ask him shit. He said, like I said before, I'm worried about Ugas right now. That's all I'm worried about. I'm not worried about no other fight. I'm worried about Ugas.
And
you know what I'm saying? That's what I like.
And that's the way he should be talking because Ugas is tough. You know, he got a slick little style. You know, he's a veteran in the game. He never been stopped in any of his fights since he's been a pro. But I think Spence in this fight, his technical skill, and I think he's going to have the speed advantage. Me, I don't believe in ring rust. So I got Spence winning this fight probably by unanimous or majority decision. I think Ugas is going to come in and he's going to afford himself good, look good. He's not going to come in there and lay down. Because this is his biggest fight to date. I mean, Manny Pacquiao was a big fight, but this is going to be his biggest fight to date, whereas he can walk out there with three belts on his shoulder.
Yeah,
he can walk out with three belts on his shoulder. But the follow-up conversation that we want to have is I sent Tony a tweet back a few weeks back, and I don't know whether or not it's true, but it kind of intrigued me, so I had to send it to him. I'm going to read the tweet real quick when I find it. Hold on. Okay, it's from some dude named Mike Coppinger. He said, Spence versus Crawford is a done deal with two exclamation points. No matter who wins in the Spence versus Ugas, a deal between Spence and Crawford for a fight at AT&T Stadium is a done deal for August 13th.
I ain't been able to find it, but Coppinger is a real deal, though.
I haven't found anything that says that's real. So I'm going to speak from a position of reality. The reason I don't believe the tweet is because of one thing he said. He said, win or lose, Spence will fight Crawford next. If Spence loses, why would Crawford want to fight him? He would rather fight Ugas and win more belts to unify the titles. So that made no sense.
And Ugas already said it. Ugas already said, he said if he wins, He said he will fight Crawford. He said it won't be because the commentator has him. He said, "Oh yeah." He said to unify to get all the belts. He said, "Why wouldn't I do that?" He said, "Why wouldn't I do that?" So, but people say a lot of stuff and then they change their mind when they get the belts and shit. But before the podcast, I was looking for that Coppinger, Mike Coppinger, and I was seeing other stuff he commented on boxing, but I didn't see that dog on. And I was just like, damn, I was so excited when I got that. I was like, man, I got to send it to Lee. Anyway, I ain't been able to find no truth in that, man.
And then another thing I was like, now, Spence wins. Tony, you as a Spence fan, you have to agree with me on this. He can't run it high no more, dog. He can't run it high anymore. Because this
either
is
one
his
of them
chance
running,
to unifying the belts. So
undisputed.
I don't care what he says, what he does. If he beats Ugas, he cannot run and hide from Crawford anymore. And Crawford will have to put he's going to have to be humble because basically Spence is coming in with three belts, you coming in with one. 60-40 is probably going to be the payout. You probably can negotiate your pay-per-view points, pay-per-view buys, but it's going to be 60-40, and that's it. Spence
and
Crawford.
What, man? I don't even. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. My bad.
Spence and Crawford are still young, still in their primes. And the one thing me and you both have said when we talked about this in the past, there's no bar arm hardballing and negotiating this fight. So it's just Crawford, his advisors, and PBC. This fight should be easy to make. No more running and hiding.
Right, it should be. And it's just the fact that if I didn't watch them blogs and them different boxing channels, man, Spence and Crawford, and that's the part about what you were saying about these promoters, man. I'm up here like this. They need to have this fight. They need to have this fight. Roy Jones, they need to have this fight for boxing. He said this fight need to be for boxing. Legacy. It need to be for boxing. He said because this is what everybody wants. Fuck with, you know, he said, man, fuck what old dude Bob Arum say. F what the dude from PBC say. Fuck all, and man, we fighting, bro. We're promoting. I mean, I go to somebody and get the money. I mean, whatever you need to do. But after Spence get past Ugas, it's going down, man. I was listening to he did a podcast the other day with Brian Custer. You know, before a lot of times before a fight, if it's on Showtime, Brian Custer sit down with the fighters, and Brian Custer asked brother, he asked all the good questions. And Spence said, I get past Ugas. He said, me and Crawford, we're gonna fight. And Brian Custer asked him about that 60-40. He said, man, he said, people take shit too seriously. He said, man, I was fucking around on Twitter. He said, man, I didn't mean that. He said, man, who would be a fool to take that? Who would take that? He said, but when you put stuff out in the Twitterverse or whatever, people believe whatever the fuck you say, man. I'm like, well, Earl, you should, first of all, what you expect? What you expect? You a boxer, man. Hell yeah, they going to believe that. But see, but Aaron, one of them, ain't now one of them, they got too much grit. They got too much grit to be scared of each other, man. Both of them dudes can go, man. But I ain't going to lie, man. Crawford a monster, bro. Crawford scared me, bro. I ain't going to even lie. Crawford, I like the way Shakur Stevens said it best, because that's his boy. He said, man, Crawford, he said, they asked Shakur Stevens, who would you take with you if you had to take a boxer with you in a bar or whatever, whatever. He said, I'll take Crawford. He said, Crawford a bully, man. He said, Crawford can squad. And when he said that, I was like, dang. But then some of the stuff that when I was watching about Earl, they said, and a lot of people don't know this, they said, man, Earl sparred Jamel when Jamel first came from Houston, came to his camp. You know, because Earl said he don't just warm up to people like that. He said, you know, I can't remember what they call that. He said it takes a little bit. But he said when he down with you, so he said he was sparring Jamel. He said, man, they said Earl spar like he really fighting and be fucking people up. They said Earl didn't spar a whole lot of nights. They said he done fucked a lot of them welterweights up. And fucked him up, man. They said ass Floyd, ass fuck Adrian Broner up, man. And they said he fucked Jamel. Like they said he was giving Jamel that work. And he said, only thing about Earl, he starts slow. He said Earl started off kind of slow, man. You know what I'm saying? So a couple of rounds started slow. And that's why, and that's the only knock about Earl. I like this. You know, with Ugas, man, you know, I don't know what Earl be doing, but he just start off slow. But they say after that third or fourth round, Earl fucking you up. You know what I mean? So him and Crawford have to happen. It's gonna happen too. If he get past Ugas, it's gonna happen.
It gotta happen, man. Like you said, it's for boxing, man. It ain't, you know, it has to happen. I know that Spence probably said the 60-40 shit was probably crazy, but I think
what you said.
If he come in with three belts, 60-40 is reasonable to me.
Yeah.
If Crawford wins, then Crawford has all the negotiating power in the rematch because he'll have all the belts. He'll be the undisputed champion. So, you know, it's a little give and take.
Yeah.
But You know, man, this fight has to happen. But like Spence said, Spence has been the ultimate professional. He know he has, yeah. He can't look past Ugas. Ugas is a Cuban fighter. Man has an extensive amateur background. You know, this guy's gonna be a tough out, man. For the box,
Hey Lee, I wanna say something. Man.
Go ahead.
One thing I like about what Crawford did, not Crawford, what Spence did, that accident, he said something to Brian Custer. He said, hey, man, when you get another chance at life, you just look at stuff different. I mean, he stayed in a high-rise building and bought him a ranch. He said he ain't never rode horses before. Man, he got a ranch. He be riding horses, raising horses, feeding goats, chickens and whatnot. He said, I had to do that. He said, I got another chance at life. He said, man, I got thrown 20, 30 feet in the air. And I'm talking to you right now, man. He said, I didn't do no rehab. I was doing shit on my own. You know what I'm saying? Dude, so it's a reason. He said, I'm here for something. He's here for something. And it seemed like a lot of the bullshit he got, you know, he got out of his life, all that, you know what I'm saying? But, he got Blu-ray. Blu-ray was his trainer at first. He back with Blu-ray. Man, Blu-ray is a doggone training. I mean, a gym. Oh, man, training, nutrition. Blu-ray is a dude, man. He back with Blu-ray. And he just looked different, man. I'm telling you, man, he just looked different, bro. And I think he's going to give Ugas that business. And then when him and Crawford get ready to fight, man, that's going to be, like you say, the biggest fight in boxing. That got to happen.
Yeah, man, got to happen. We've been talking about it. Fight fans been talking about it. Ever since Crawford went up to welterweight, this been the fight that we all wanted. When Crawford went up there and won that belt, it was like that's the one thing we were saying. Okay, he got a belt now. So what we doing? So, hey, one thing about having belts, it do give you kind of like a little bit of negotiating power. So
it give you ammunition.
But,
it does.
Yeah. So. I wasn't shocked that Spence chose the Ugas fight instead of fighting Crawford. I wasn't shocked by that. Both of them guys are PBC. And I think what PBC is doing is they are putting their fighters in the strongest negotiating position when it comes to a Crawford fight. Because any which one of them that win is going to come in with three belts.
Yeah.
And when you coming in with three belts, hey, you the big dog in the yard.
Look at Count Boston. Look at him.
Yeah.
Mug got to go all the way to Australia to fight somebody because he got three belts. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
And we're talking about Spence, Ugas, and Crawford. Spence 27-0. Ugas 27-4. Crawford 38-0. Spence 21 knockout. Ugas 12 knockout. And Crawford 29 knockout. Man, Crawford is a problem, bro. Crawford is a problem. You got almost 30 knockouts and he had only 38 fights? Man, bro. Crawford, man, Crawford is, man. I like Crawford, man, because he's in them cars, too. I like Crawford. But it just spins from the crib, and it ain't like Crawford can't beat him.
I mean, it's if the fight happens, it'll definitely be probably the biggest fight of the year. It'll be the biggest fight of the year without a doubt.
It'll be the biggest fight of the year, the doggone last couple of years. Man, Crawford Smith in their prime?
But it'll be the biggest fight until around about December, depending on the outcome of Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, and Tate Davis.
I think
if we could get any of those two fighting each other by the end of the year, that fight will be a big time fight too. But look, man, we talked about a lot tonight, man. Friday Night Fire, the fight game with my special guest Tone. You know, man, me and Tone go back years. Like talking boxing with him. You know, so I decided to throw him on the show tonight. You know, and you know he accepted the invitation once again. So, hey man, any last words, bro?
Hey man, I just look forward. First of all, thank you for having me, bro. you know, safe travels coming back home to the Cackalack. And I hope we can continue to do this. When you get back here, you can show me all the technical stuff on how you set it up. And I'm just looking forward to all these fights, man. I'm looking forward to all these fights, and I'm looking forward to them brothers going over there supporting Devin Haney. And with all that, man, God bless you. Love you to life, and thank you for this opportunity to, you know, to voice my opinion.
Yeah, man, appreciate you, man. You know, like I said, it's always good to have somebody you know and you respect their opinion to be on your show. You know, sometimes in boxing you're going to agree, sometimes you're going to disagree. Tonight we had a little bit of both, and that makes a good conversation. You know, this show isn't a debate show. This show is two dudes that know each other sitting down having a conversation, opening ourselves up so people can hear it. That being said, everybody have a good weekend. Take care. Next Saturday is the Ugas Spence Jr. fight. I might go out and watch that fight. I probably won't watch it at home. Probably go to Legend to fight. So I'll probably get out and watch it. I might even go to Dave and Buster's because they got that big ass TV up there. So, but I'm gonna get out and watch that fight. So, but my boy Tone, I see you in a couple weeks, bro.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Yes, sir. Safe travels, man. Safe travels.
Yep.
Wish me luck on that job, too, man. Pray for me.
Yeah, I know. I told you. I said you're going to knock it out. So,
yeah, man.
Knock it out. Go in there and do your thing.
But, right. It's going to be over the phone. It's going to be over the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, still do your thing. Hey, one thing about a phone interview, man, put on a shirt and tie like you was doing it in person, dog. Do it like you would do it in person, dog.
Oh, that's real. So, I ain't never thought about that. That's real.
Hey, man, hey, because when you dress the part, you are the part. Because if you go in there wearing a T-shirt or a polo or something, guess what? That's how the way you're going to get your interview, is if you wearing a T-shirt or polo. So, man, just dress up like you was doing if you was in person. But, hey, everybody have a good weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other.
You too.
Rest in peace to my niece, Wanta.
Oh, yeah, rest in heaven. Miss you. Heaven, sister.
Yeah, I miss you. Keep looking over us. That being said, everybody, live your life to the fullest every day.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Only get one. Be yourself.
Indeed.
There's only one of you. Your
That's
spot
true.
Is taken by you. So live your life to the fullest. Be the best you can be. Ride this motherfucker till the wheels fall off. If the wheels fall off and you can get them fixed, get them motherfuckers fixed and rise again. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. That's for sure, man. Hey, man, blessings to you,
saying.
Man. And till next time.
So
next time, Lee.
And the way I end the show is always, we'll always end with a peace.
Peace. Later.